Good morning. Well, it's not a ping pong match this time. Everybody's here. Okay, Luke 6, 27 through 42. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Do not judge others. You will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, and pouring into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Then Jesus gave the following illustration. Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eyes when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you cannot see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eyes.
Whenever you ask people to recite the Golden Rule, too often they will say something like, don't do unto others what you don't want them to do to you. Right? Have you ever heard that? I've heard it quite a bit. That just leaves me, you know the expression, the internet expression, meh? You know, that's what that does for me. It's meh. It's insipid. It's weak. It's empty. It's powerless. It has no value, no social value at all. Don't do unto others what you don't want them to do to you. It requires no effort. It requires no gallantry. It requires no nobility. It's negative space. And it really never addresses the question of what must I do to my fellow man, to my fellow traveler, to my neighbor, to the person that I sit on the pew with at church. What should I do? What should I do? Well, Jesus is very clear in what scholars call the Sermon on the Plain. That's his version, Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. It differs and content and sort of organization from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. And it runs against our popular understandings of what it means to be a neighbor. Because we tend to think of, you do your thing, I'll do mine. You know, as long as I don't step on you and mistreat you, then everything's cool. Jesus never says that. He says, what you do makes a difference. What I find interesting in this text that Ed read to us today is that there are 9 imperatives. Now, an imperative is when I say, do this. That's an imperative. Go there. That's an imperative. Act this way. That's an imperative. And there's only 2 negatives in the whole list. 9 imperatives, 2 negatives. And interestingly enough, in the enemy, we find the truest picture of whether or not we're living in this way that Jesus has called us to live. So listen to this. Jesus says, do good, imperative, do good to haters. Do good. Not just tolerate. Just tolerating is negative space. It doesn't do anything. It's meh. Jesus says, do good to haters. You know, it's against our nature. We love to be offended, don't we? How dare you say that to me? Well, that makes me angry. And we're so self-centered and self-focused in our relationships with one another. Jesus says, don't do that. Do good to haters. He says, bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. It means you go out of your way to do good to somebody who may be saying things to you. They may have just flipped you off as they drove by you on the internet, or they may have just had a few choice words to say to you on Facebook. Jesus would say, don't react to that. Jesus would say, don't respond to your basest instinct, which is to give it back to them, right? Isn't that what we do? That's the American way. Somebody makes you mad, give it back to them. It's not Jesus' way. He says, pray for those who hurt you. Pray for the... What are you talking about, Jesus? Do you realize how angry I am? Do you realize how deeply they hurt me or cut me? He says, pray for them. You know what happens when you start praying for someone? You start loving them. That's what happens. He says, offer your cheek to someone who slapped you. You know, we live in Western culture, we live in a give back the way it's been given to you. But you don't see any of that spirit in what Jesus is saying to us. He says, offer your, give to anyone who asks. Jesus asks us to be generous. One of his letters, Paul tells the church, let the thief no longer steal. But get a job and be productive with your life in order that you'll have something to give to others. The idea of being a stingy Christian is just an oxymoron. They do not go together. Jesus says, be generous. Love your enemies. This is another one of those imperatives. Love your enemies. Love people that are hard to love. Love people who, by their very nature and by the nature of the relationship, make it difficult for you to even want to be around them. Love your enemies. He says, be compassionate. Be compassionate. This is a combination of two Greek words, which means to feel with. So if I'm being compassionate, I'm sort of stepping into your shoes to the degree that I can. And I'm feeling with you. He says, forgive. We live in a world that, so we talked about this last week, but we live in a world that's skewed toward vengeance. You see what they did to me? I want them to suffer. I want them to burn in hell. I want them to do this, that, and the other. None of it good. He says, give. We're back to this one again. This is a stingy world we live in. I've preached sermons on tipping your waitress. Because I think that the way that we treat someone who serves us in any sort of public way is a picture into our heart. Jesus says, don't be stingy. Don't live with scarcity thinking. Be generous. Turn loose of what you have. Share it. In a tit-for-tat world, there can be nothing loftier than treating people in the way that Christ would treat us. Do you realize what a world we live in if we all resort to this vengeance, stingy kind of approach to things? I was talking to a friend recently about no joke, and if you don't know what this is, ask me later and I'll tell you. But there are three practices associated with no joke. Showing incredible interest in the other. It means being curious about them and focusing your attention on them. Staying in the room with difference. So if somebody disagrees with you, you don't flee. You don't go away. You stay in the room. And the other is not comparing my best with your worst. So my friend is saying, you know, he said, I don't know. He said, I'm pessimistic about that. I don't know how that's going to do any good. Especially when you got people that are extreme in their points of view politically and otherwise. How does it improve things if all you do is just listen to each other but still remain polarized? Our conversation didn't go this direction, but I want to say to him, you have to start somewhere. Jesus gives us the place to start. What is really interesting in this, I think, is that Jesus only lists two negatives. There's only two in here. Nine positives, two negatives. The two negatives are don't judge and don't condemn. Don't judge and don't condemn. Now, if I see you shoplift something in a store, And I say to you, that was wrong. You shouldn't have done that. That's not a judgment as Jesus is using it here. That's an objective, observable deed that you can comment on. Now, if I say, I know why you took that. I know what was in your heart. I know what prompted that. That's judging. These function like big filters on the way that we look at the world. A person who judges and condemns is, first of all, self-centered. Because my basis for the judgment is me. It's what I believe about you. It's what I think about you. It's what I think I know about you. That's the judging part of this. And I can't know that. In this world, I'm constantly comparing it against myself. Well, I wouldn't do that. So, I wouldn't do that. That's me. That's all I know. I don't know why you did it. There's no way I can know that. Always thinking about self and comparing others against myself. People who judge trust their instincts, but I do that. I can tell you I do that. I trust my instincts. Sometimes they're spot on, but sometimes they're not. And I think that's why Jesus says, don't judge. Don't get into that business. A person who doesn't judge, begins with certain assumptions. The first is that assuming the worst is an emotional baggage that they don't want to pick up. Assuming the worst is emotional baggage that you don't want to pick up. You know, when you just kind of start with the worst, you carry around with whatever emotional assumptions go along with that. Maybe they've rejected me, they hate me, they this me, they that me, and now I've got that to carry around, in addition to the assumption that I made. The second is that it pollutes my view of the world. If I go around judging people, then what I end up doing is I end up living in a dark world with no possibilities, no hope in it. It's a pessimistic, awful way to live. The third assumption is that I'm a child of God. Now, I don't do this every Sunday morning, but this particular Sunday morning, I kind of woke up thinking about this, and I thought about this question. If you were the last Christian on the face of the earth, what would people conclude about the Christian way based on your behavior, based on the way that you treat them, based on the kind of face you wore, based on how you tipped at the restaurant, based on how you treated your fellow employees? What would they assume? One of the assumptions of the person who doesn't judge is that I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I follow Jesus. A fourth is that judging often causes people to make the worst possible decisions. Causes people to make the worst possible decisions. Because most of the times our judgments are based on a lie or a false assumption that we make about the other. To live the golden rule as Jesus laid it out is a conscious matter. It's hard work. We used to sing this little round in church when I, this was back in the 70s. The round was love, 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 love. The gospel in a word is love. Love your neighbor as your brother. Love, love, love. And so one group in the audience would start, and then another one would pick up, and it's the music sounded lovely, but it impressed me as being awfully trite. It's so easy to sing love, 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 love. The gospel in the word is love, but to live it is hard work. The person desires to live like Jesus. They dwell on what the golden rule looks like in their life. What does that look like? You know? If I love Rochelle, what does that look like? How do I treat her? How do I talk to her? What do I assume about her if I love her? And number three, it gives attention through prayer and practice of bringing that quality to my own life. It gives attention to it. It's intentional. It's focused. It's something I pray about. It's something I think about. What does it mean when I live do unto others as I want others to do unto me? What does that look like? Don't you love to see it when disciples of Jesus take him up on his relationship model? We've been spending, this is our fourth week, talking about this. It really works. It really works. It doesn't mean that every single person that you treat that way is going to straighten up their life based on that. But in terms of the impact of your life, results increase. Positive results increase dramatically when you live this way. I think it also appears to be risky. You know, if I let someone get away with that, I'm going to appear weak. I may lose. It's risky, isn't it? But Jesus invites us to step out of the boat, to trust Him, to go down this way with Him. And to live this way overrides my baser instincts. And we human beings have some pretty base ones, don't we? To do what Jesus calls us requires trusting that He knows how we ought to interact with each other. What would you say if a LifeSpringer treated you better than you deserve? What would you say to that? What would you say if a LifeSpringer confronted rather than rejected you when you behave badly? I kind of collect in my own mind because I love thinking about them little LifeSpring stories when I see that happening. It's really lovely to watch. It's lovely when I see two LifeSpringers who had a misunderstanding and they worked it out. Why do they do it? Because they loved each other. What would you do when a LifeSpringer showed you generosity that was atypical of the world around you? They were just generous to you because they loved you. What would you do? Will you do it as well? Don't answer that too quickly, because I'm asking a really, really difficult question. Will you do it as well? I've seen those moments as well when feelings get ruffled and long faces betray anger or frustration or withdrawal occurs. Well, I'm just not coming back. I've heard that. That's not the way of Christ. I'm here to tell you, that is not the way of Christ. The way of Christ is that we love each other, that we work it out. It's not that disagreements don't occur. That's inevitable. Look at who we are. What is not inevitable is how we react to that, how we respond to that. What Jesus is asking us to do is be tough. There was a Wall Street author that wrote a book called Emotional Intelligence. And in Emotional Intelligence, what he was doing, it was a New York Times bestseller, and it's remained on the list of important business books for decades now. Emotional Intelligence. And what he was doing is he was calling for people in the business world. He wasn't using a Christian framework for it, but he was calling them to be emotionally tough. And to live in a certain way in front of their business colleagues. Jesus knew this stuff centuries before Goldman wrote his book. If he'd have just listened to Jesus, he could have figured this out. I like the way that the Baptist Church in Corte Madeira holds their church accountable on the subject of gossip. Bev and I used to worship there with them whenever we go over to Corte Madeira to spend a few nights, and right on the edge of the city, but far enough away. Mount Tamalpais is there, and Muir Woods, and all this great stuff. And so we'd go there on Sunday morning to worship. If somebody came to, let's say, I'll pick on Robert, and Robert comes to Amanda, and he says, "Hey, have you heard about what Dee did?" At Corte Madeira, what they would do, what Amanda would say to Robert is, "Hey, let's go talk to Dee." You know what? It's the last time Robert would ever say to someone, "Did you hear what Dee did?" And what they did is they enforced within that church a kind of DNA. Corte Madeira Baptist Church, we do not gossip. What Jesus is saying is, in my family, we love each other. That's a pretty good piece of DNA, isn't it? Can I hear an amen for that? Yeah. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your grace to us. In you, we have experienced undeserved compassion, forgiveness, generosity, and love. We know that you call us to the same, to treat each other with deference and kindness. Please keep us from succumbing to our baser instincts. Help us to look to you. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.